At the end of quite a week for voting rights, federal court decisions have lifted voting restrictions in a bunch of big and sometimes pivotal states, including Texas and North Carolina, among others. We've heard those headlines through the week, and now NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg is here to talk us through what it all really means. Hi, Nina.
Hi, Steve.
So from the beginning, what's going on?
We remember that in 2013, the Supreme Court struck down a key provision of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. That was the provision that required mainly southern states and some other states and local areas in the north to pre-clear voting changes.
In other words, go to the government and say how they're going to run their elections and make sure that the government was okay and then go
right
on. Okay.
But the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, ruled in 2013 that times had changed and that this coverage formula couldn't be justified. And then, lo and behold, as soon as the court freed these state and local governments from the pre-clearance mandate, Republican legislatures started adopting lots and lots of new regulations that civil rights groups said were targeted at suppressing the minority vote. Strict voter ID requirements, getting rid of early voting days, not counting votes if they were cast in the wrong polling place, etc. And the Supreme Court, for the most part, allowed those restrictions to remain in place for the 2014 elections.
Allowed them for 2014. Why?
Because the court said that the fall of an election year is too late for intervention, that it would only cause chaos and confusion. And, well, this year the shoe is on the other foot because courts have fairly consistently been striking down those restrictions over the last year, culminating with some very big wins for civil rights forces in two federal appeals courts.
Okay, so let's go into some of the details here. In what states have the courts been striking down or limiting the reach of some of these laws?
The biggest win was in North Carolina, where a federal appeals court panel unanimously threw out not only the voter ID requirements, but a variety of other provisions that the court said were enacted with the intent of making it harder for minorities to vote. The other huge win was in Texas, where the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is perhaps the most conservative federal appeals court in the country, it balked at the Texas voter ID law, ordering the lower court to fashion some sort of a more inclusive voter ID requirement. And then we've got another laundry list of states, Wisconsin, Ohio, Kansas, where a lot of these restrictions have either been softened or thrown out entirely.
And we can see where this is significant when you say Ohio and you say North Carolina, Wisconsin. We're talking about swing states here in the 2016 presidential election. But let me ask you, Nina, voter ID supporters have said, come on, what's wrong with asking for a driver's license? And the Supreme Court has agreed with them, hasn't it?
Yes, it did in a case from Indiana. But the author of the Supreme Court opinion, Justice John Paul Stevens, and the author of the appellate decision in the same case, conservative Judge Richard Posner, have noted that that case came as a blanket challenge to the law without any evidentiary trial. Both judges have since suggested that the proof offered since then in other states shows how these laws are aimed at suppressing the minority vote.
Okay, so when you get into more details, some of these laws are not allowed anymore, but what are the justifications that states give for them?
The states have said that the laws are aimed at preventing voter fraud, and Donald Trump has said that these decisions mean that the election may be rigged. But the courts have pointed out that there's virtually no evidence of so-called in-person voter fraud. That is, you go to the polls more than once or you use someone else's identity. And there is, in the contrary way, plenty of evidence, both historically and now, of attempts to suppress the minority vote.
Okay, so given all of these rulings, how are states like Texas or Wisconsin going to adjust their laws for this fall's election?
Well, in Texas, they've already agreed on what they're going to do. They're going to let people go in, file an affidavit under penalty of perjury, say, I am who I am, and then they can vote.
What about the court battles? Are they over?
Oh, no, they're not. But for those states like North Carolina that are making an 11th-hour pitch to the Supreme Court, asking the justices to block the appeals court ruling, there may not be the votes to do that because, Steve, remember, this is an 8-justice court, and an evenly divided court just leaves the existing decision in place.
Nina, thanks very much for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
That's NPR's Nina Totenberg.